This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading, followed by a sermon, and then concluding with a prayer.
So this morning we're looking at another broken signpost, the broken signpost of spirituality. And keeping that in mind, we're going to read two short passages from John's Gospel. So we're going to read from John chapter 14 and then John chapter 15. So John chapter 14, verse 15 to 17. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And then Jesus went on in chapter 15 in John's Gospel, and he starts to tell them and describe to them about the vine. And he says these words, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Amen." So we're thinking of spirituality. It's a bit of a buzzword these days. Celebrities, politicians, artists describe themselves as spiritual. Often when they're interviewed in podcasts or magazines or newspapers, they talk about their spirituality. Just last month, Kate Moss launched her latest skincare range, and the advertisers claimed that this particular skincare is rooted in her spirituality, that apparently Kate discovered whenever she was in lockdown and was spending a lot of time in nature. That may be true. But are we really going to gain spiritually from how well that skincare feels on us or the benefits it gives to us? Really? This is one of many examples that show how today spirituality is no longer something that people feel or think can be found in a church or in a temple or in a mosque. Many people, particularly in the Western world and in Britain today, are constructing their own spirituality outside of Christianity and all of the main faiths, constructing their own spirituality. Those who describe themselves as spiritual believe there is more to the world than meets the eye. And that's true, isn't it? There is more to the world than meets the eye. They say that there is more than the mere material. People will openly and sincerely say, yeah, I am a deeply spiritual person. I am spiritual. There's a spiritual side of me. And many talk about seeking spiritual wholeness, trying to find and get that spiritual wholeness. Scientists, writers, journalists, philosophers, artists are among the many who are trying to make sense of this great human longing that we all have. It's there in every single person for something more. There's something missing in my life, something I'm not quite getting. I've got all this, but still there must be more. Whether we realize it or not, part of our makeup is spiritual. And scientists, politicians, journalists, everybody's trying to answer and understand that great longing in us. Why are we here? Where do we come from? Where are we going to? What is my destiny? What am I striving for, working for, living for? These are big questions that not just Christians are answering, but the world is trying to answer. These are signs of a spiritual discontent, a spiritual hunger that for many, sadly, is not being satisfied. Our popular culture signposts spirituality as personal fulfillment. That is the broken signpost in our world. If you want to achieve that spirituality, personal fulfillment is what you look for. Tom Cruise has articulated this really well. He says, people can create their own lives. I decided that I'm going to create for myself who I am and not what other people say I should be. I am entitled to that. Tom Cruise exemplifies how many people are living. He expresses how many people are living, practicing a religion of self-discovery, a gospel of self, personally trying to meet my spiritual needs. I will do this. I will do that. I will try for this. I will aim for that. So we live today in a world in which many people are constructing and creating their own personal spirituality, their own brand of spirituality, like Kate Moss, trying to find fulfillment, contentment, and their best life. And Christianity speaks uniquely into this broken signpost. Indeed, to everyone who thinks of themselves as spiritual, the Bible affirms this. The Bible says, yes, yes, that is true. We are spiritual in our makeup. You go back to the very beginning, to the creation narrative in Genesis, and we are told there that humankind had the breath of God, the Spirit of God put into them to bring life. We were given God's Spirit to live. But something, somewhere went wrong. And then we're told that Jesus, here in John's Gospel, has sent us his Holy Spirit to meet that spiritual need in us, to fulfill that spiritual hunger. This is something that is so unique to Christianity. No other religion believes in a God of three persons in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's absolutely unique to the Christian faith. Hindus worship thousands of gods and believe there are many more gods in the universe who are separate to us. Muslims believe there is one God, Allah, and the Holy Spirit, mentioned four times in the Quran, is an angel. And they believe Allah is separate to the world. Buddha said that for Buddhists, the issue of God's presence isn't important. And Jews believe God is found in the scriptures, and his holy presence is still found on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. That is why no Jew steps on that area, because they are not sure exactly where the Holy of Holies is in that area that is now controlled by the Muslims. But when we read the Bible, and in particular here in John's Gospel, we discover how God answers our longing for spiritual connection by sending us his Holy Spirit. Sometimes referred to as the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Peace, or the Spirit of Jesus. God's Spirit in us brings that fulfillment and contentment that we all long for in life. And the Christian faith explains that and offers that. Christianity is more than a subject to be mastered, intellectual facts to be gathered up and remembered. It is a truth to be experienced. It is a relationship to be enjoyed. Jesus said, "I will send you the Helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Christianity offers us a God who is with us, not separate, but with us. When we welcome the Holy Spirit in us, he reveals the truth of God, of why we are here, where we come from, where we are going to. The French philosopher Pascal said that only God is able to fulfill our God-shaped vacuum in us. That God-shaped vacuum in us, Pascal says, can only be filled by God. Only the Christian church says that God has given us the Holy Spirit to move into our lives, take charge of our lives, and radically transform us from the inside out. Only the followers of Jesus believe that God's presence is available to us, and if we are willing, through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come and live in us. God's presence is not absent. God's presence is not distant. God is not only with us, but the Bible says he can be in us. God is not out there. God wants to be in here. Yet many Christians who know of the Holy Spirit have yet to welcome that Holy Spirit in them. They know about it, but they've yet to welcome that Spirit in them. And so they lack a deep sense of union with God. God seems distant, maybe even at times absent, because God is not in here. They've never personally experienced the presence of God within. They do not enjoy a close relationship with God, and so they find God someone different, remote. Only really vaguely knowing God, not personally having his presence with them, in them. Now, this Christian belief in God the Spirit is a great paradox. It's a great paradox that the Bible openly acknowledges. That on the one hand, God is separate to us because he is holy. He is invisible. He is heavenly. And yet, on the other hand, God is intimately with us. God comes to be with us. Moses taught this. In the Bible, we're told the temple revealed this paradox. The Psalms describe this paradox, and the prophets foretold it. But we see this paradox revealed in Jesus. And those who encountered Jesus at the time just couldn't work this man out. This man who claimed to be the Son of God. This man who did things like a God. This man who taught in the authority of God. He was a paradox. This paradox revealed in Jesus, our God come to be with us. If we go back to the start of John's gospel, it says in John chapter 1, the Word became human and made his home among us. And then it goes on to say this, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Even John openly acknowledges the paradox. It's hard for us to get our head around this. That God's Holy Spirit is able to come and live within us. And yet the only way that is possible is because of Jesus. He resolved this issue when he came and he took away our sin. Removed it. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he removes our sin from us. So he takes away our sin, and then the Holy Spirit is able to come into us. His holy presence can reside in here. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that we are like the temple of the living God. We become the holy place where the presence of God can reside. What is that Holy Spirit? Who is that Holy Spirit? Well, if you read, take time to read John 14 to 16, there's so much there about who this Holy Spirit is. It tells us there, I'll give you a few highlights, that the Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth, will teach us all things, will bring to remembrance the things Jesus said, and will also make known Jesus through us, through our lives. Those are some of the things that the Holy Spirit does. And later on in the New Testament, we're told that the Holy Spirit is the one who creates fruit. Fruit that includes, in Galatians 5, love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then we're told elsewhere in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that the Holy Spirit also gives us gifts. Spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Which include, we're told, wisdom, knowledge, miraculous faith, miraculous healing power, prophecy, discernment, and speaking in a mysterious heavenly language. What we find here in scriptures is that it doesn't downplay and it doesn't make light of the Holy Spirit. As strange as it may sound, it's there in black and white who it is. Nothing else or nowhere else will you find such claims as to who the Holy Spirit is and what transformation this Spirit can bring. Tom Cruise, you know, can try and make a better version of himself, and he's pretty good, I'll give him that. But he'll always be a lesser version of himself without God in his life, without that Holy Spirit. In John 15, we find Jesus himself describes our relationship with God as essential for living and fulfilling our purpose in life, for being fulfilled. He describes it as like a vine and a branch. On the temple at the time, whenever Jesus lived, you'll see on this picture of the temple. This is a model of the temple in Israel. And along the top there, I don't know if you're able to see, but that's a carving of a vine. And so every time that the Jews would have come towards the temple, they would have seen this huge carving above the door. Maybe that is what Jesus was looking at whenever he starts to describe to his disciples. This is what I'm like. This is what our relationship is like. He looks up at this magnificent carved vine as he explains this relationship. And he says it's the most essential human relationship. It's the one we all need. It's the one we need to have. It meets every human need. Without a relationship with Jesus, we live with a great spiritual emptiness, a hunger, a desire that no one else can satisfy. God is essential to human life, fully living. And God's presence in us makes us complete. Jesus says anyone, any branch disconnected apart from the vine is incomplete. And it withers. In John 15, Jesus says that when we remain in him, he will meet our every need. We will find all that we need. So much so, he says it twice. Verse 5, he says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That is a bold statement. But it's true. And then he goes on and he says again, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. A bold statement, but it's true. Jesus speaks the truth of who he is and what he offers. Yet I don't think many people outside the church, and dare I say it, maybe inside the church today, believe that God is essential to human life and experience? Do we live like God is essential to our human life and experience? I think many people don't think God is the important thing missing. They don't realize that. They think it's a lack of money. If I had more money, oh, I would be so much more satisfied. They think it's a lack of good health. If I could just get this fixed, if I could just get some treatment or medicine to sort this out, my life will be so much better. Or it's a lack of holidays, a lack of a good job, a lack of success, a lack of good marriage, a lack of a good government. Even those who call themselves Christians often live with God on the periphery of their lives. Calling on God in times of crisis or special occasions, considering things other than God the essential. Even a closer examination reveals, you know, we can easily think God's presence can really only be for a few holy people. You know, a few people who study this book here and know it inside out. Or God's presence can only be for those who write books about this book, or for those who wear clerical robes or collars. A few devout people. We think deep spiritual experience of presence of God is optional and or unusual. Is that your thinking? Is that how you think? That is a lie. Don't believe it. It's a lie of the evil one who spread it with great success, challenging the words of the truth of Jesus, making us question the possibility that the God who made the heavens and the earth, a holy God, could come and live within me and make a difference to my life. No way. Not possible. But the Bible says it is. And Jesus, in this one passage alone, says it twice. I will meet your every need. I will meet your every need. I will make a difference in your life if you remain in me and I in you. John's Gospel tells us in chapter 14 that Jesus promises us the Holy Spirit to be with us and to be in us. Indeed, greater still, imagining that Jesus is the vine and we're the branches, reaching out into the world, we bring that life of his Spirit to wherever we go, producing good fruit so that others can see the goodness of God. That's the impact that the Holy Spirit in us has. It's not just about me, but it's about God through me and the difference that I can make. That's what Connector hearing from Johnny this morning. But that's what we need to hear as well, and we need to know. Jesus said, "If you remain in me, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The Christian faith isn't something that's meant to be hidden away, kept inside some walls of churches, church buildings. It's meant to be out there, the churches, the people. It's meant to be lived and revealed and shown. That is what Jesus says. And that's why this group of disciples who were hearing this, maybe only about 12 of them at the time, maybe a few more aside, but say there was only 12. From that, how they showed the difference that Jesus made brought us the church today that is global. God's Holy Spirit in our lives will make others curious as to why are you spiritually satisfied? What makes you tick? Why, when I know your life isn't perfect, I know there's stuff going on, things you struggle with, family life is difficult, yet why are you able to have peace? Why are you able to have hope? These are the things that the Holy Spirit starts to reveal to others. Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives." And then he goes on to say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Christians aren't special people who are immune to trouble. You know, we still have trouble. We still make mistakes. We still get sick. We still face opposition. We still get frustrated. We still get disappointed. All that stuff still happens. But the difference is in here. We can look in here and find one who can help us to get through, to get stronger, to find wisdom, to know peace, to live life well, even in the midst of life not being well. God's spiritual presence in us. Let me finish by saying this last thing. C.S. Lewis and his friend Tolkien said there's only one true story. One true story. And they said that one story is the narrative of our loss of God and the great spiritual longing in each one of us to get back to God. To get home. Lewis and Tolkien retell this story in the Chronicle of Narnia, in The Hobbit, in Lord of the Rings. The story of coming home. We're lost, spiritually lost without God. How do we find our way home? We can't do it ourselves. Earlier in John chapter 14, Jesus says, "I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way. No one comes to the Father except through me." Do you know, our world is filled with broken signposts for spirituality. You can even make your own broken signpost, your own spirituality. But Christian spirituality has Jesus as a signpost. He's the one that gets us back on the way that leads us to the presence of God. Jesus is the one we follow. And as we love and obey him, his Spirit is able to come and live within us, find a home here, a place. Christian spirituality isn't an idea. Christian spirituality isn't a practice. Christian spirituality is a relationship with God, a unique, deep, intimate, enjoyable, lasting relationship? Is your spirituality a broken signpost? Is it leading you places to a life that's not satisfying? Come back to Jesus. Let him fill you with his spirit so you can have this wonderful, fulfilling, satisfying relationship. Or C.S. Lewis or Tolkien would say, come home. Come home and be with God and let him be with you. Let's pray. Just as we sit here, for those of you who want to and are open to God's Holy Spirit, and have never received God's Holy Spirit before, or you just need a fresh anointing of God's Holy Spirit, a fresh filling. Perhaps where we are, just open the palms of our hands before you. A posture of being willing to receive. A posture of wanting. So with hands open before you, God, these hands represent our hearts and our lives, open to you. For you to send your Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Come and dwell in us. Come, Holy Spirit, in your power, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you promise when your Spirit comes, it will meet our every need. When your Spirit comes, it will make a difference. Come, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Make your presence known to each person who's ready to receive you now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Over the past couple of weeks, we have been praying for our city and thinking of five things to pray for our city. And Lois is going to come and lead us in prayer. But we're also conscious there are things that have gone on this past week that have happened that are beyond the stretch of this city. We know of the tragedy in Donegal. And we know of the tragedy of the nursery when only one little three-year-old survived and the massacre there. These things cast a shadow on our world and on us. And we have thought this morning of how God meets our needs, but God meets the need of the whole world. We've just sung, "Flood the nations with grace and mercy." And that is our prayer, and Lois is going to lead us in prayer.
The theme this week is five things to pray for our city is caring. To assist us in focusing our thoughts, I will read from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for every extra expense you may have." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hand of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for providing care when we are in need. We pray for all caregivers, whether it be family members, friends, doctors, nurses, or other healthcare professionals. Equip them with the necessary skills to deal with difficult situations that they may be confronted with. We pray for those in our city who are struggling in body and mind. Let them know that they are not alone and that they can turn to you and your church in their need. We all live busy lives. Sometimes we can suffer from compassion fatigue. We pray that carers would remain soft-hearted and willing to be involved in the complexities of people's lives. Thank you, God, for those on the front line in our cities who sacrifice so much for the good of others in emergencies. Ambulance personnel, firefighters, accident and emergency staff, and other first responders. We ask you to sustain them as they tend to others. Caring isn't designed to be a solitary activity. We pray that you provide carers with a good network of friends who are able to support them. We pray too for those who provide respite services. Father, for your world we pray for countries contending with the aftermath of flooding in Pakistan and the destruction of Hurricane Ian in Florida. For countries where there is conflict, Somalia and Ukraine in particular. For the slaughter of innocents in Thailand and social unrest in Iran. Father, we pray for the tragedy which is unfolding and has been unfolding in Donegal since Friday. Comfort those who are injured and grieving. We pray for the emergency services who have the grim task of rescuing the injured and recovering the dead. For the medical and nursing staff caring for the injured. We would ask that you would provide support to the community in the days ahead through your church family. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website. But in the meantime, stay faithful.